If you have your Bibles open with me to 1 John chapter 4, if you don't have a Bible with you today, I'll be preaching from that portion of Scripture in 1 John that was read as the De La Rosas lit the second Advent candle. So you can refer to that in your bulletin if you would like. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Our theme this morning is love. And 1 John speaks marvelously about this great love that God has shown both during the Advent season and also during Easter through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Let me read it again for the New International Version. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Would you pray with me? Father, bless us with the theme of the love of God in Christ Jesus. And open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts to Your Word this morning, that we may respond to You through it. I make my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if it was in the 60s or the 70s, but the famous song was sung, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love." When you read the Bible, you realize that God knew always what the world needs now. And that was true, authentic, sacrificial, biblical love. And that is the love that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this little passage. It reminds me of John 3:16. It seems to expand on that simple little verse about the love of God. But it tells us with precision what's involved in that love. And I want us to reflect on that this morning. In fact, I want to look at three characteristics of love given to us by John in this passage. Three characteristics of love, or three statements, you might say, about love given to us by God through John. The first is the command to love. And you see that in verses 7 and 8. We are commanded to love one another. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. We are commanded to love one another. It doesn't just come. It doesn't just happen. How should we love one another? Well, the Bible makes that very clear too. 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love chapter, gives us a demonstration of what love looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious. It's not proud or boastful. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love comes from God. It's not something we can muster up. So we have to look to God if we're going to practice authentic love. And that's what John is saying here. Don't fancy that you can drum up some feelings towards somebody, a fellow Christian or somebody perhaps who's not a Christian, maybe somebody who is not a Christian who has hurt you and made you bitter. You're not going to love them on your own. Love comes from God. And so it's not worked up as much as it is prayed down. We ask God, give me the capacity to love somebody else, somebody who's hurt me. And why? Because God loves us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And that's what John is amplifying on here, that God gave His Son, Jesus. But he makes it in the form of a command. And he's saying that if you claim to be a Christian, you must, I must, love others. And not with some superficial, surfy feeling, but from the heart, based on the information provided in Scripture about the Lord Jesus, that love has a substance. Love is more than a feeling. Love involves actions. And therefore we are commanded to love. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, the goal of our instruction, that is the goal of all that we do as apostles in instructing God's people, is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Love comes from God. According to John, love is the badge of a Christian, the litmus test, if one has truly been born of God. And John makes it clear, if somebody doesn't love, they haven't been born of God. It's impossible to claim to be a Christian and not be a person characterized by love. That doesn't mean that we practice all the elements of 1 Corinthians 13 with perfection all the time. You know that you don't, and I know that I don't. We're sinners saved by the grace of God, but we should be striving for that and admitting when we blow it, when we don't love as we ought. I look at these characteristics in 1 Corinthians 13, and I have to ask myself, am I a person of love? Am I actively pursuing the command to love others? There's great assurance in that. If I see love coming out of my life and heart, I know I've understood the gospel. I know I've understood the gospel if I love the way Jesus loved. And this gives me great assurance. Too often we associate assurance with feeling rather than fruit. Do I feel like I'm saved today? Well, a better question to ask is there any fruit in my life? Do I truly love my neighbor as myself? Do I truly love, and am I able to love those who have hurt me? Those who have caused me bitterness and pain? We studied that this morning as I filled in for my friend and fellow elder Bill Ernest teaching a Sunday school class. They're going through the Gospel of Mark, and they happen to be on Mark 15 about the crucifixion. And we looked at that, at the incredible love of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He suffered on the cross, all the pain of the cross, but not only that, the Father turning away. You know, on that cross, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there was a moment in time in history when the Father had to pull away and allow the Son to absorb all the wrath, to drink the cup of the Father's wrath against sin that was owed to you and me. And the Son drank the cup of the Father's wrath for your sin and my sin as He perished on the cross. You talk about love. One lady brought up the fact that it's amazing to comprehend that Jesus suffered for the sins, past, present, and future, of just one Christian. How much more all the elect of all time when the Father poured out His fury upon Him. Don't ever let it be said that we can't love those who have hurt us or extend love and kindness to those around us, because Jesus did it to the nth degree as represented by this supper this morning. Dear Christians, love one another, for love is from God. Why do we take the elements of the Lord's Supper this morning? To remind us that we're not loving people. That God is love. And the only way that we're ever going to be able to truly and authentically love others, to forgive others, to receive others, is to recognize the love of God in Christ Jesus and to own it, to embrace it ourselves by asking Christ to be our personal Savior so that we too can celebrate the Lord's Supper and focus upon His great love for us. Well, that's the command to love in verses 7 and 8. But I want you to notice also the foundation of love in verses 9 and 10. Again, love is not simply a feeling. John explains to us what love is. And I want you to notice it has somewhat of an Advent and an Easter distinction. Look at verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed His love amongst us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. There's Advent. There's Christmas. You know, it's amazing. We think often about the cross of Christ, why Jesus suffered. I often wonder why God loved us enough to send Him to begin with. Because before the cross, He lived in this sin-stained world for 33 years. And also, we don't reflect on how difficult that was. 33 years without sin. Putting up with mistreatment, with the way people behave, with people that are blind, even though they could see physically, with the mistreatment of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the intensity of the last 3 years of His life. For 33 years, Jesus lived. God said it was an act of love just to send Him. But John goes on in verse 10, not only was the Son sent to live in this sin-stained world as the perfect God-man, but He says in verse 10, this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. God's love for sinners is demonstrated in both of these statements. And John makes it plain that authentic love finds its origin in God and not in us. Often we try to love without standing upon the foundation of God's love for us. May I put it this way? You cannot give away what you don't possess. And the only way to ever possess it is to recognize why Jesus came. And that is, He came to die in my place. And therefore, it's not a mushy feeling. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That little song is sung by children, but it's so profound in all of its simplicity. You know, the beautiful thing about Jesus is that He loves us in spite of what we are. He accepts us in Jesus. And therefore, when we talk about love, we have to reflect on the cross. Because that's the way God accepts us and receives us. Too often people use the phrase, well, God accepts me just the way I am. There's truth in that statement, a kernel of truth, and that is that God accepts us as sinners. But we're not to stay there. You see, God accepts us through the lens of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't really accept us as we are. You heard of those come-as-you-are parties where people show up in their pajamas and what have you and all that, and everybody for a moment dismisses the rule, so to speak. Well, when God looks at us, He doesn't just accept us as we are. We have to be in Christ. So the statement is true in the sense that He accepts sinners. But we come and we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus, and He accepts us because of Christ and what He has done for us in coming to this earth at Advent and dying on the cross. That's why we don't have a right to remain as we are. You can't just say, accept me as I am. There's another dimension to that. Too often we sacrifice the principles of God's Word for the personality involved in it. I heard a story a while back in another state. There was a man who had a son who kept coming home intoxicated. And his dad said, son, you can't come back anymore after this time. And some people said he was harsh. And he said, no, I will not sacrifice the principles for the person. The principles of God's Word are love. And the way that I love my son is to say to him, no more of this. I will not allow it to go on. I will speak the truth in love and maintain the principles of God's Word above the personalities that I work with. Well, something is wrong. It has to be addressed. I remember being in Dallas, Texas, and watching a lady destroy the marriage of a young couple and her son. And the son confronted his mother and said, why do you pick on my wife and all these things? And his mother said, you just have to accept me the way that I am. That's the way that I am. And the son said, no, you profess faith in Jesus Christ. And so you're a sinner and I'm a sinner, but I don't have the excuse to wallow in just the way that I am. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And He challenges us that once we've been forgiven of our sin, that we're in Christ, to look past justification and start being sanctified and becoming more like Him. We don't have the right to remain just as we are. Because God accepts us in Christ Jesus. And therefore the foundation of love is His sacrifice and the very fact that He came. That He put up with discomfort, that He put up with pain. And too often we think of love, again, as some mushy feeling rather than an active type love. And that's exactly what Jesus did from beginning to end in coming after us, being born in a cow stable and putting up with all the garbage He put it up with and then dying on a cross. Love is active. Jesus said, don't say that you love me and then disobey my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you will be engaged in following me, in obedience. That is the sign of a Christian. And that's why the Bible makes it intertwined. What does it mean to know the love of God? It means to obey His Word. What does it mean to obey the Word? It means to love others. They are inextricably bound. Love and truth. It's not either or, it's always both and. Therefore, as I look at the gospel of Jesus Christ, I realize what the true foundation of love is. Well, the command of love and the foundation of love, I want you to notice finally, before we take the Lord's Supper, the fruit of love, verses 11 and 12. The fruit of love. John is clear that in light of God's love for us, we should love one another. Jesus said, they will know your mind by your love. Sometimes that has to be compassionate, sometimes it's tough. I love these verses. It's amazing to me. There's a dimension of sanctification and evangelism. Look at them carefully with me. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There's our foundation. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. I don't know about you, but when I was converted, I looked at a lot of Christians. And at first, I wanted to imitate those Christians. I wanted to imitate my pastor. But he didn't grow up in a home that I grew up in, so it was hard to imitate him. And I wanted to imitate other Christians that I knew at UCF and at my high school, but they weren't like me either. And finally I realized the only standard I had was the Lord Jesus. And that if Christ lived inside of me, I was different and unique in one sense. I had a story to tell. But in another sense, I shared in common that which every other Christian has, that is that he or she, like me, has been redeemed in Christ and we're called to love. Every one of us has a different story to tell, a different background, different hurts and pains, different sins we've been forgiven of. But we all share a common denominator, and that is the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's what brings us on equal ground. And the Bible says that if we know that love, if we've accepted Christ, that God lives in us. Not like the heretics or some cult would say that we become some sort of God. No! The divine nature's inside of us, exemplifying the fact that we are eternal beings and we're going to spend an eternity with our God. It doesn't mean we become a little God or some sort of God, but that we belong to God and that we're different than the animals or the plants. We're eternal beings and we're going to spend eternity with Him. God lives in us. But there's also an evangelism element. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. You know, it's often been said you may be the only Bible that anybody ever sees. Well, when they take a look at your life, one of the elements they better see is love. Because if God lives in you, and that's a result and a part of the offspring of the gospel, if God lives in you, then you're going to love. I'm going to love. And the world's going to look at my life and say, there goes a person of love. And it's a tool of evangelism. I get tickled by what churches do, and there's a lot of times I don't like being a pastor because I feel like what Paul described, a peddler. You know, so many churches are like that. I've mentioned before the three B's, bodies, budgets, and buildings, counting noses, counting nickels. How are we going to grow the church? As if it were IBM or some sort of company. No. The church is made up of human beings. The church is made up of souls. And people are not to be treated like cogs in a building or in a machine. We're to show them love. And that is, we're to listen to their story. And also, as we do that, we're to speak the truth in love. Tell them the truth. You ever had an opportunity to tell somebody something you didn't want to say? Now, you knew they didn't want to hear it, but you told them the truth anyway, so you made it clear. I've told people that before. I've had people talk to me and say, Pastor, you know, well, maybe leaving the church. I'll say, don't threaten me. I can't operate that way. I'm under vows. I don't love you for what you give. I don't love you because you increase the numbers or you may be involved in a building program one day. I love you because Jesus loved me and I am charged to shepherd your soul. And if I tell you something you don't want to hear, you have the option of walking. But don't ever let it be said, I didn't love you. Sometimes love is tough and it says things we don't want to hear. We have to come to grips with our own self and our sin. That's the fruit of love. And when we do that, we become a Bible to the world. They look at our lives and they see the compassion and the gentleness of Jesus, but also the firmness in telling the truth. And they say, I want to be a part of that. I want to live in reality. I don't want to live in a fantasy world. I want somebody to tell me the truth about who I am, a sinner, about who God is, a loving Heavenly Father who is holy. And about what He did, He sent His Son to stand in my place and die and drink the cup of His wrath so that I might be changed from the inside out. That's the gospel. That's the love of God. And that's what we talk about at Christmas time. And that's what we share with the world. But we begin it by sharing it with one another. Let's give ourselves to that. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the words of 1 John and the singular beauty of being a Christian in the way of love. Lord, we don't know how to love. We confess we're not loving people, but I pray that You would make us to learn how to love. Show us your glory. Father, as we approach the table this morning, remind us of the love of God in Christ Jesus as you came to earth, which we celebrate as Advent, and as you perished on a cross, which we celebrate at Easter, in order that we might know what true love really is. Give us the grace to do what you command, and command us to do what you will as we seek to be a people of love. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.